We don't get saved by good deeds we do. We get saved because of God's mercy and kindness in Christ. That Jesus Christ bore your sins on his body on the cross. That he died for your sins. And that his sacrifice is the only sacrifice that God accepts.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we'll continue our look at how older women are to live. And again, there's an application in here for all of us.
Yes, Dave, absolutely. And as Paul reminds Timothy, all scripture is profitable. So yes, and indeed this passage has direct application for older women, but it also has powerful and important truths for all of us to hear and apply. Our text is Titus chapter 2, verse 3.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Malicious gossips. Without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness. They're going to play the game, but here is their heart. And one of those elements is malicious gossip. And we see the same term used to speak of female deacons. These are recognized servants, not leaders, in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 8, deacons likewise must be men of dignity. We saw that, not double-tongued, nor addicted to much wine, fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossip, diabolos. Not this way. They must not be this way, but temperate, faithful in all things. Older women, quite possibly with more time on their hands, will be tempted to slander, and they are never, and you are never, to be a malicious gossip. When Pastor writes, these wise women Paul is describing refuse to listen, much less propagate slanderous and demeaning stories about others. Just as men are more inclined to abuse others physically, women are more inclined to abuse others verbally, which can be even more destructive. Older women, you're not to be this way. So then, they're to be reverent in all their behavior, not malicious gossips. You who are older, are you tempted to talk about people, spread little stories here and there, talk about your relatives, whatever it might be, little things that aren't totally true, malicious gossip, slander? You are not to be slanderers. You are not to be like Satan if you are in Christ. Take special note of what God says in Proverbs 6 about speech. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's turn there together. And if you want to know what God hates, here you go. God's going to tell you what he hates. And take note of how much of this has to do with speech. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. Here's what God hates. Haughty eyes. That's the, you know, the arrogant eyes, the boastful arrogance in someone. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue. That certainly includes malicious gossip. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. God hates lying. God hates slander. It is basically the nature of Satan, the evil one. It is his nature. It should not be the nature of us. And we know if you are characterized by lying or slander, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And such some of us were, but we were washed, we were sanctified, we were forgiven in Christ. Look what Paul tells Timothy, a young man, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, Paul tells Timothy, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. Show yourself as an example of those who believe. Colossians chapter 3, we see the mandate for believers, all believers, not just older women. But now you also, verse 8, put them all aside. Put it all aside. You can, in Christ, say no to sin. put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. No way should you be identified by that. Do not lie to one another. Don't live a lie. If you're claiming the name of Christ, don't live that way. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. He says, basically, don't live the way you used to live. You didn't learn Christ that way, verse 20. If indeed you have heard him, have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness, holiness, and the truth. Therefore, laying aside all falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Down a few verses, 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Folks, especially old women, we're not to have speech that's like Satan. You know that? All of us are to have godly speech. It is an evidence that we have been redeemed. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 8. But do not let immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper or fitting among saints. There must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral person, impure person, or covetous, or man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Don't let anyone tell you that someone who practices sin is saved. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the word of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, don't be partakers with them. He's saying, since you've been saved, you've been redeemed, don't live like you used to live before. And some of you aren't redeemed, and you have no other choice than to live this way. And it is only through Christ that you can be saved and redeemed from your sin. Older women are not to be malicious gossips, slanderous, evil, satanic speech, walking in the nature of Satan by slandering. Don't do it. Confess it when you're tempted. Go to Christ and trust him to deliver you. Now, I shared a little while ago about a group of slanderous, wicked older women who appeared to be very reverent on the outside, but on the inside they were very wicked. But in that same church there were two elderly women, two sisters actually, Virginia and Marilyn, who exhibited reverence. And they also were righteous in their speech. And what a blessing to be around godly women who trust Christ, who weren't perfect. They made mistakes, but they acknowledged that and they confessed it. But by and large, they were reverent and their speech was godly. And what a difference and what a blessing to be around them. I want to ask you, do your words divide relationships? I'm not talking about the truth in love, because truth will divide. I'm talking about slanderous words. Do you speak slanderously about others that would cause others to presume evil about people? James reveals that our words are an indicator of where we're at. We've been looking at that in James. James 1:26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, if you think you're following the Lord Jesus Christ and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. If you can't control your tongue, your religion is worthless. And we see later on in chapter 3 that the unredeemed man can't control your tongue. If you don't know Christ, you can't control it. But God is a gracious God who will redeem you and save you and change you and give you the control. What did Jesus say about our words and our spiritual condition as he was addressing the Pharisees and their words? Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make a tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. He was pointing to the Pharisees who appeared to be good, but they really weren't. He's basically saying, just manifest your true fruit, which they would. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For out of the mouth speaks out of what fills the heart. The good man out of the good treasure brings forth what is good. The evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they will render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Every careless word. Matthew chapter 12. Does your life exhibit godly characteristics of reverence and righteous speech, or satanic characteristics of gossip? It's not a small thing to go chit-chatting about people in the extra time you have as an elderly lady. It's not a small thing at all. You are not to be identified by that in any way, shape, or form. If you've messed up, you need to confess it and be forgiven and move on and be who you are in Christ. Okay, so we see older women are to be reverent in all their behavior. That's their deeds. And their tongues are to be under control, as we'll see, of the Holy Spirit. They are not to be malicious gossips. That's their words. That's word and deed. And I believe, lastly, we're going to see their desires need to be under control, as they are, in this example, not to be enslaved by much wine. Verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine. The term enslaved to much wine speaks of not becoming enslaved to a lot of wine, actually. It speaks of being under subjection to much wine. And it's important to realize that this verb here, it's a participle, is in a perfect tense and a passive voice. Well, what does that mean? It means women are not to enter into a condition having been subjected to wine in the past and continuing under that subjection to the present. They're not to be those who are continually subjected too much wine. And the passive voice indicates that they're stuck. They're enslaved. They cannot get free. Apart from Christ, any sin that we commit, we can't get free. We become slaves. And certainly in Crete, as in many other parts of the world, older women might alleviate their loneliness or the worries of life and the increased pains of old age, certainly, with alcohol. Today, older women right now do the same things with antidepressants and pills. Instead of being enslaved to much wine, we are to be, as we'll see in Scripture, enslaved to Christ. Indeed, the Apostle Paul uses this same word in Romans 6 to describe who we used to be enslaved to, which was sin, and now how we're to be enslaved to God. Romans 6, let's turn there together, just back a little bit, and we'll look at that for a minute. Romans 6, verse 16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one you obey, either sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness? Do you know when you present yourself to sin, you become a slave to it? When you obey sin, you obey desires, you become a slave to it. If you present yourself to God, you become a slave to righteousness. But he says here, verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed. They heard the gospel and they obeyed it. And have been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your faith. For just as you presented your members as slave to impurity and lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you deriving from the things which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, that's our word, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, before we came to Christ, we were all slaves to sin. We offered ourselves to sin, and we are enslaved by sin. You can't get out of it. You can't stop doing it, no matter what you say, no matter what type of religion comes around you, whatever program it is, you are enslaved to sin. And when you just repent of your sin and trust in Christ, He sets you free from that enslavement, and you now have the choice to offer yourself to God rather than to sin. And here, older women are not to offer themselves and be enslaved to much wine. They're not to be living that way. Certainly a temptation for older women, probably, especially in Crete. Now, we see later in Titus chapter 3 that we are all, and we're all characterized also by enslavement to sin. Let's go back to Titus and look at chapter 3 of our same book. And Lord willing, we'll get to this part, but we'll look at it just really briefly today. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. That's what believers ought to be. Remind them, Titus, that's the way you ought to be. And he's going to give them the reason why you ought to be this, because that's not who you are anymore. For we also once were foolish ourselves. And if you're not saved here today, this is describing you. For we also were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we had done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Spirit, whom He poured out richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. We don't get saved by good deeds we do. We get saved because of God's mercy and kindness in Christ. That Jesus Christ bore your sins on His body on the cross. That He died for your sins. And that His sacrifice is the only acceptable sacrifice that God accepts. And if you call out to Christ Jesus to save you from your sin, He will save you from your sin. You are a slave to it now, but if you cry out to Christ for salvation, He will save you. That's the way we were. We were enslaved, folks. And older women, don't be enslaved again. You don't have to be enslaved to wine. You don't have to be enslaved to much wine. Now, in Scripture, we see that all believers are commanded not to get drunk, Ephesians chapter 5, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't let wine control you. Let the Spirit of God control you through the Word of God. Older women are not to be enslaved to much wine. And this leads to the side question, can believers drink alcohol? And again, we don't have time to go through this, but I'll just give you a couple quick points. Notice here, Paul doesn't say they must abstain. He just says don't be enslaved to much wine, not to be addicted to it. Secondly, we need to realize that it's not prohibited in Scripture. Paul tells Timothy to have a little wine for his stomach. Thirdly, we need to realize that although we have freedom in Christ to drink wine or eat meat, that same freedom could stumble a weaker brethren, could terribly hurt somebody. Romans chapter 14. So what's the point of our passage? Older women are not to be enslaved to much wine. They're not to be a slave to wine. It says much, a lot of wine. They're not to be controlled by alcohol. And I think this is probably a pretty poignant temptation for older women. Folks, we're not to be enslaved by anything. And older women are not to be enslaved by much wine. Every master apart from Christ is a cruel master. Sin promises pleasure or relief, but it brings you death. Older women, you're saying, well, I'm hurting, I'm ailing, I need something to help me with my ailments, I'm worried about this, I'm concerned about this. Sin promises you relief, it brings you death. It brings you death. It brings you separation in your relationship from Christ. Certainly, if you're saved, nothing can separate you from Him in that relationship, but there is a separation, a break in a fellowship. It brings death. Promises pleasure. Relief brings death. Don't go there. Whether it's antidepressants, alcohol, pain pills, whatever it is, don't alleviate the difficulties of your old age. You're getting close to the end of the race in Christ. Don't blow it. Paul talks about not allowing anything to be master over him in 1 Corinthians. Obviously, this must have been a temptation for older women here in Crete, and certainly maybe for you. Don't let anything control you. Don't let it control you. Let Christ control you. Sin is an evil taskmaster, our own desires. God is a gracious master. Christ is so good. You yield to Him. He controls you in a good and wonderful way. I mourn when I see elderly women who claim to be believers who are enslaved to antidepressants, alcohol, whatever it might be. They're enslaved to it. You look at it, they are. I mourn over that. That's not who you are to be in Christ. I mourn over that. And I want to ask you, older women, are you controlled by Christ or enslaved to wine or drugs? I think it'd be very easy to act very reverent and to have these little compartments in your life that no one sees. How is it one can be freed from such slavery? Some of you are saying it's impossible. And it is impossible apart from Christ. And there are some of you who don't know Christ. And you know the enslavement. You know that feeling. You're not set free. Let's look down at Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. God's grace in Christ has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, to save you from your sin and God's wrath. And that same grace, verse 12, is instructing us now, older, young, men, male, female, instructing us to do these things, to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly or right thinking, righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Older women, he wants you to be pure. He's purifying us. So then we see ultimately that older women are to be reverent in all their behavior. They are not to be malicious gossips, and they are not to be enslaved to much wine. And we'll see, Lord willing, next week that they are to be teachers of good. God has a program for you as older women. He has a requirement of you as older women. You may have a lot of free time, but when you study this passage, you realize you don't. You are to be teachers of what is good, and we'll see that next week. So in short, older women are to be holy and reverent in all they do. They are to have redeemed speech, as evidenced by a life controlled by Christ and not booze. I want to ask you, are you an elderly woman? Does this describe you? If it doesn't describe you, you need to just confess your sin and step out in obedience. God forgives you. God's a gracious God, a good God. Confess your sin. I'm sorry, Lord God. But then step out and obey and rejoice that you're forgiven. It's what you are to be. So then we've seen today at least the first portion of what God expects from older women, and the next portion we'll see is combined with younger women. And again, you're saying, how can we do this? Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. Some of you are not saved, and you realize it, and you know it, and you're a slave to sin, and Christ came to set you free. He came to set you free. God took on human flesh. He lived a perfect life. He bore the penalty for your sins in his body on the cross. God was satisfied. He said, it is finished. The work is done. God was satisfied with his sacrifice. He went in place of you. And when you believe in him, you receive eternal life. You repent of your sin. Lord God, I've blown it. And I need forgiveness. And you believe in Christ. And he forgives you immediately. And you are made his child. And you are set free from your sin. And for those of you who have been set free, who have walked back and enslaved yourself out of your own desire, God sets you free when you just confess it. Today we've seen what older women are to be. If you're an older woman, regardless of how many years you've known Christ, by the virtue of the fact you've lived life a long time, you've seen the futility of trusting in self and seeking your own desires. Because you are now in Christ, here is what you are to be. Older women are likewise to be reverent in all their behavior, not malicious gossip, nor enslaved to much wine. And we'll see, Lord willing, next week, teaching what is good.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, what's our takeaway?
You know, Dave, our takeaway is this, that older women are to be godly. They should be examples to younger women by being reverent and not controlled by wine and free of malicious gossip. There just isn't an option for anything less. And now, Dave, for all of us, the application is simple. We're not to be gossips. We're not to be controlled by anything, but rather we're to be controlled by God through His Spirit as His Word works in every aspect of our lives.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.